God be in our mouths and in our speaking. God be in our ears and in our hearing. God be in our heads and in our understanding. Amen. So, today is the beginning of Passion Tide, the last 2 weeks of Lent, when we begin to think about Jesus' suffering leading up to his crucifixion on Good Friday. However we look at them, and however much we remember that Jesus' death on the cross wasn't the end, because if it had been, we wouldn't be here today, things are going to get progressively darker over the next couple of weeks. And we're going to meet Jesus, the Son of God, God in human form, the Word made flesh, at his most human. We're going to meet a man who, though he was God, suffered humiliation and pain of a kind that I hope and pray none of us ever has to endure. And in today's gospel reading, Jesus, the human being, says what he, as a human being, feels. My soul is troubled. I'm worried. Jesus knows what's going to happen to him and what the end of the story is going to be. He's going to be lifted up from the earth and he's going to draw all people to himself, as he says to Andrew and Philip. But he's troubled. Worried. Jesus, the human being, worried just as we would be about exactly what's going to happen to him. He knows the destination, but he doesn't know what it's actually going to feel like to travel the route. We can empathize with that, can't we? If you go into hospital for treatment, the doctor has probably already told you lots of stuff about what's going to happen to you, exactly what they're going to do, and why. What you want to know is, what will it feel like? Will it hurt? If so, how much and for how long? That's what we're worried about. And here's the human Jesus, torn between what he knows must happen, what it might actually be like, and yes, just for a moment, can he get out of it? What should I say? Father, save me from this hour? It's of a rather different scale, I have to admit, but I vividly remember as a teenager being on an exchange trip to North Germany. As a day trip treat, we were taken to the little island of Heligoland out in the North Sea by ferry. Well, I was really, really ill on the ferry. I'm still a pretty terrible sailor. And the 3-hour crossing was absolute purgatory for me. There's no worse feeling, is there, than when something horrible is happening and you can't ask it to stop. I think I spent the whole of the time we were on the island trying to find out if it might be possible to fly back. And that ruined any fun I might have had. I couldn't fly, even if there was a plane. I couldn't have afforded it. I had to do the 3-hour boat trip all over again, and I don't think I enjoyed the return crossing any more than the one on the way out. The fact that I can still remember it more than 40 years later speaks volumes. Can I get out of it? Can I avoid the inevitable? A natural human reaction. We're looking into Jesus' mind as he turns this over. What should I say? And he comes to the inevitable conclusion because he knows why he's been sent into the world. He has to die in order that God's plan might be carried out. It is for this reason that I have come to this hour, he says. And then he says to his Father in heaven, Father, glorify your name. And the voice comes back, I have glorified it and will glorify it again. A voice that the crowd standing around hears as thunder. I have glorified it. God has told the world how much it is loved by all of those wonderful things that Jesus has done. The blind see, the lame walk, the water has become wine. All done through Jesus. And the best, as we know, is yet to come. The Easter message is that we all have nothing to worry about. Nothing at all, not even death. But in order to tell us that, Jesus had to die. to die so that his rising again might show us just how good the good news really is. And the good news is for everyone, not just the disciples, not just the chosen few, for everyone, with just a couple of conditions. Love God. Love your neighbour as yourself. Familiar? If you worship other gods, whatever they may be, if you despise your neighbour, if you're given an opportunity to help someone worse off than you and you ignore it, if you puff yourself up into something so full of importance, so superior to them, then it's not going to happen. That's not building the kingdom of God on earth. That's not being a servant leader. That's not following Christ's example. Unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Jesus' knowledge of biology might have been superseded by science. A grain of wheat doesn't die when you put it in the soil. It germinates, doesn't it? But the underlying principle has never been more true. Something that looks like death precedes the kingdom of heaven. That's symbolized in baptism. You're drowned in the water to emerge a new person and part of the church, the body of Christ. If you bury a seed, a grain of wheat, or a conker, or an apple pip, or whatever the seed looks like, you lose it for a while. But what emerges is new life, a new plant, or a new tree. And, the big one, the fulfillment of God's promise. When we die, we return to the source of the love that brought us into being in the first place. To those who have lived with us and loved us, it looks like death. But as the hymn quoting the prayer of St. Francis of Assisi says, it's by dying that we're born to eternal life. The story of the next couple of weeks is a story of death, one particularly humiliating, agonizingly painful death. We dwell on the details and talk of nails and crowns of thorns and mocking and spitting and cursing and a violent mob. But, we already know that a fortnight today, we'll be remembering the story of a woman whose life seems to have lost its purpose, whose grief is overwhelming, who meets someone in a cemetery garden. She's desperate for news of her murdered friend, and she asks the man if he can help her. Then he speaks to her and calls her by name. Mary, says Jesus. Teacher, says Mary. And nothing is ever the same again, for her or for us. And the shame and the suffering become a means, not an end. Amen.